Next week, the Pulitzer Prizes will be announced. Excellence for authors, musicians, journalists, from editorial cartoonists to columnists. But the Pulitzer that every newspaper covets is the gold medal, given to a news organization for its public service journalism. Winners include the Washington Post for its coverage of Watergate in 1972 and again in 2008 for its reporting about conditions at the Walter Reed Hospital. In 2002, the New York Times won the gold medal for its Portraits of Grief coverage after 9/11. Smaller papers win, too. Last year's winner was the Las Vegas Sun for its reporting on worker safety. Roy Harris will be watching the Pulitzer announcement this year closely. He's author of the book Pulitzer's Gold, Behind the Prize for Public Service Journalism. He joins us in the studio. And Roy, start by explaining the Public Service Pulitzer a little more, because people might not even connect it with the Watergate Award. So what's it for?
The Public Service Prize was one of the first ones created when Joseph Pulitzer dreamed up this idea in the early 1900s. And the prizes started in 1917. And at the time, there were only three journalism awards. One for reporting, one for editorial writing. Public service was the third prize, and it was the biggest one in his mind. And it has been handed down to us as being the classic prize, but it does go to a newspaper or news organization and not to an individual reporter.
Well, and this is something of a make-good for Joseph Pulitzer in a funny way, because he, for much of his career, was involved in, you know, yellow, sordid journalism.
Not a bad way to save your career, I guess, if your name has been sullied by that kind of activity over the years. He was a very serious newspaper man and did a lot of good things, even though he had those years where he took on William Randolph Hearst.
Or actually, he let himself be taken down to William Randolph Hearst's level. And so this was sort of his way of making good. One of the first public service Pulitzers went to the Boston Post. It doesn't exist anymore, in 1921. For its coverage of Charles Ponzi.
Yeah.
The scam was named after him. And you can't review all the public service awards, but just tick off some others.
Sure. Well, the Ponzi scheme, of course, was a great one. I consider it one of the most important awards because it really kind of set the pattern. In the early years, you didn't know what a Pulitzer Prize was. People were still coming out of yellow journalism. They didn't think of newspapers as being particularly meritorious in any way. So it took years into the 20s and 30s before you began to get these great prizes. And there was a newspaper that really brilliantly covered the Little Rock, Arkansas school desegregation, the Arkansas Gazette. It won the Public Service Prize. And then coming down into the years, you had obviously the Pentagon Papers won for the New York Times in 1972. And then the next year, the Washington Post for Watergate.
Well, but you mentioned Little Rock, Arkansas Gazette winning for coverage of school integration. That was in 1958. And it reminds us that sometimes the Pulitzer's gold medal comes with some loss involved, because the Gazette lost readers. Then in 1927, you had Ohio's Canton Daily News. They won for exposing some politically connected local thugs, and the editor was murdered.
It's really true that it comes with loss sometimes, because so much of what goes on into some of these awards is courageous reporting. In Arkansas, awful lot of white readers did not want to see balanced coverage of the desegregation of Central High School. There was a wonderful case in the mid-80s of a newspaper, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that covered problems with Bell helicopters that were crashing and killing servicemen. And the company, Bell Helicopters, is in Fort Worth. It's the largest employer and barred the newspaper from the facility there for a long time. So, you can lose a lot.
Right. Well, and that brings us to the Boston Globe, which took on two big stories here. I'm thinking of busing in the 70s. It won a Pulitzer for its reporting on busing, but felt that, you know, maybe it did lose a lot of readers because it wasn't perhaps as sensitive to some of the issues of the people who were against busing. And then in 2003, it started digging into what turned out to be the huge Boston Catholic Church sex abuse story. This is fascinating. It's a combination of good gumshoe work, reporters sitting down and talking to abuse victims, but also the reporters at the Boston Globe used something called computer-assisted reporting, CAR. What was that?
Right. Well, it's kind of funny to talk about it now, but back then it was kind of the early years of using computers to do what had been the old note-taking and creation of databases that you'd just keep in notebooks. But they did an awful lot of that. They also did a lot of that old-fashioned looking through directories. They were trying to find out what had happened to these priests. They suspected that the hierarchy at the church was relocating priests from one place to another to solve the problem, solve in quotes, the problem of a priest being abusing youngsters. But the only way they could really track that down was to go through church directories and find out where all these priests went. And it was at that point they did, in fact, begin to use a lot of computer assisting.
Well, putting into these databases the annual reports that were issued by the diocese, you write that they started to see some bland notations, nobody notices them, but then they began to aggregate because, again, they're seeing this now in their computer spreadsheet. And what did they start to see?
Right. Well, it goes hand in hand with the kind of interviewing they were doing. When they would find one case, they would really get involved with talking to the victims. And then they'd combine this with the material they were getting through the computer analyses. And that's where they'd get a sense that, you know, not only did they have the big picture of scores and scores of priests being relocated when there was a complaint about them, but on the other hand, they were getting the intimate story of what was happening in these families. And as you remember, a lot of these victims were coming, 10, 20 years after the offense had occurred. The classic lesson for a reporter is to always be skeptical. The truth is that these reporters and the initial group of reporters on the Spotlight team all happened to be Catholics, and they didn't know it at the time. They did not know that they were all Catholics. They found it out gradually as they began to ask each other about their own experiences with priests.
Real brief, do you have any predictions for this year's winner?
Well, this is not a year where you've got one of those no-brainers. 2 years ago, the Washington Post, in its Walter Reed coverage, it had been covered all over the country that the Army Medical Center in Bethesda had been really mismanaged and was harming the very veterans that we were supposed to be taking care of. But this year, I think you might have kind of a dark horse out there. It might be a small paper. There used to be a group of reporters who would dig into this. They called themselves the Cabal, and they'd try and find out who the finalists were. Unlike the Oscars, the Pulitzers don't announce the finalists until the final awards are listed. So the Pulitzers can kind of surprise you.
Well, Roy Harris Jr. will be one of those waiting to see who does win this year. He's author of the book Pulitzer's Gold, Behind the Prize for Public Service Journalism, just out in paperback. Roy, thanks so much.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks very much.